Yesterday on the program, we heard how some bloggers are trying to change China. Today, in the second part of our series on the Internet in China, we're examining an even newer form of media, podcasting. It's only caught on in China in the past year, but already the country's podcasters are pushing the boundaries of law and decency. NPR's Louisa Lim has been talking to some of China's most controversial podcasters.
Hello, 大家好, 我是Jenny.
Hi, and I'm Ken, and this is Chinese Pod, and we're bringing you spoken lessons in Chinese, Mandarin Chinese, from Shanghai, China. And
Irishman Ken Carroll started podcasting Chinese lessons just over 5 months ago. His Learn with Ken podcasts now attract more than 10,000 visitors a day, making it China's number three podcast show. For Ken Carroll, podcasting offers exciting new opportunities where the old regulations for brick-and-mortar schools no longer apply.
We have a chain of language schools here, and all the materials we use in those schools has been vetted by the authorities for content. With podcasting, it's considered something different because it's not considered broadcasting and it's not considered publishing. Essentially, it's more like a weblog, a community platform, a forum for discussion. So essentially, there's no scrutiny.
电子 means electronic.
Electronic. 电子 meaning electronic. Great.
This and means lessons can take in the most up-to-date vocabulary. It's a far cry from the old days, when it took years for a textbook to gain official approval.
Podcasting is still on such a very, very early stage in development that I'm not even sure if the government's even aware of it, to be honest.
However, millions of Chinese are. It's partly due to this podcast, a recent smash hit, seen by an estimated 40 million people. It's a spoof of an epic film made by Chinese director Chen Kai-ge. His movie, The Promise, had literally a cast of thousands and cost $40 million to make. It took one 32-year-old sound engineer just 4 days to turn the film into a laughing stock. He re-edited the movie into a 20-minute parody titled The Bloody Case of the Steamed Bun. It starts with a fake newscast, interspersed with fake commercials, all poking fun at the film. Heroic characters are given silly voices, and serious arguments over who killed whom are given a new twist. The maker of the spoof, Hu Ge, says he never intended it to become an internet phenomenon.
His film, The Promise, was very bad, so I thought it would be fun to parody it. When I finished my video, I gave it to friends. They passed it around, and eventually it ended up on the internet.
This video short enraged the film director Chen Kai-ge, who's threatening to sue Hu Ge. Some experts claim the re-edit violates China's copyright law on at least three counts. But Hu Ge says the case touches upon the issue of freedom of speech.
There is a clause in Chinese law that says you can't be held responsible if you're using someone's work to comment on that work. That's the case overseas. It's also the case in China.
There's a fair amount of disagreement between experts about exactly what is lawful and what is exactly not.
Gary Wang is the founder of China's biggest podcast platform, Tudou.com. Launched almost a year ago, it now gets 1.5 million page views a day. Gary Wang is watching Hu Ge's case, but denies he's worried by the implications.
This is something unstoppable, how content are created, how content are distributed. So I'm not worried at all. I just think whoever foolish enough to try to stop this will be really going in for a big surprise, big shock.
One popular podcast on the site is a slideshow of black and white photos set to music. It shows migrant workers sleeping on park benches, a white-collar worker slumped in exhaustion, his head resting in his hands, blind musicians playing traditional instruments on the street for money, their unseeing eyes raised in supplication. It isn't overtly political, but these losers in China's economic reforms make an eloquent political statement. Gary Wang lays out his approach to what's allowed and what isn't.
We obviously do not want the website to be against the government regulations, which is very obviously, you know, pretty clear that you don't do very political stuff. You don't show porno clips on the website. We have a volunteer group who help us filter out these things, but you know, we hardly ever see these kind of things.
Still, homemade podcasts like this one are steaming up China's cyberspace. It's made by a young woman called Mu Zimei, who shot to fame as China's first bedroom blogger, describing her amorous adventures. Her career as a podcaster was launched by a fuzzy audio recording of her encounter with a stranger she met over the internet. Let's get started, he says, less than 2 minutes after coming through her door. Let's take off our trousers, he suggests. What follows is a fly-on-the-wall recording of their coupling. It's been downloaded by almost 2 million people, bringing Mu Zimei even more notoriety. She says she decided to tape on the spur of the moment.
I just started podcasting and was wondering what sort of new content I could use. It was only while the guy was on the way over that I decided to record. From the minute he pressed the doorbell until he left, he wasn't with me for long, less than an hour. I thought the recording sounded like an experimental work. Of course, there's been a lot of criticism. Some people said I was faking it. Others said he was cruel.
This pornographic podcast, mixed with specially chosen music, shows how some parts of Chinese cyberspace are becoming a free-for-all. Cyber nasties have even emerged, including videos of women in high heels stomping kittens to death. The authorities scan the internet for political messages, but don't always seem to bother with other graphic content. Mu Zimei offers one explanation. When the government steps in to control us, she says, that means we're becoming influential. The fact they don't care shows just how unimportant we are right now. Louisa Lim, NPR News, Shanghai.